Okay, so what I was looking for examples of a godly man, that an example for his son or his daughters. And last time I think I preached out of, if I remember right, Genesis, the life of Jacob. But since we just covered, you know, the faith of Jacob, I didn't want to go back. And I know I said last year, if I remember right, I said, well, we'll do this year, but so be it. So I chose King David. King David. Out of 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. And when you get to 1 Chronicles 28, David is at his deathbed. David is old. The chronicler, we don't know who he is. We don't know who wrote this Chronicles. Picks up and gives us more details than the writer of Kings. Okay, so you want to compare the stories in 1 Kings and also in Chronicles. You're not going to find the same. You'll find some things, but the chronicler gives us these details. He's at his deathbed. And during this time, he can't get any heat. You remember that? He's old. As a matter of fact, he's not that old. He's about 70 years old, which when you look at the lives of the other kings and the patriarchs we looked at, he's not really that old. Why he's old? And Kings records that during this and proclaims himself king. Bathsheba reminds him that he promised that Solomon would be the king, and tell her that if Adonijah rises to be king, so she comes and David anoints him king. Well, the chronicler adds a little, go back this, the time of his, from 1 Chronicles 22, and it ends. Well, let's go to chapter 28. Okay, again, that was just a summary. What does he do? He assembles all these. Okay, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. Después, vamos a ver esto. Después vemos que el propósito. Tercero, vamos a ver cómo Dios elige a David y a su hijo Salomón. Después también vamos a contemplar cómo David manda o encarga a Salomón, amigos, que guarde todos los mandamientos, pero más específicamente, versículo 9, cuando dice, y tú, Salomón, hijo mío, reconoce al Dios, ¿de quién? Al Dios de tu padre. Y por eso escogí a David. Reconoce al Dios de tu padre, sírvele con corazón perfecto y con ánimo voluntario, porque Jehová escudriña los corazones de todos y entiende todo intento de los pensamientos. Si tú le buscares, lo hallarás, mas si lo dejares, él te desechará para siempre. Luego vamos a encontrar como Salomón, una vez más, deje decirlo en español y te regresamos a inglés, convoca o asamblea todo, ¿verdad? Lo que dice versículo 1. Después encontramos su propósito, su intención de David. Recolecta a David como Dios lo escogió a él. También como Dios escoge a Salomón para ser rey. Recuerden, está Adonías, está Absalom, están los hijos de Saúl. Y aún así, amigos y hermanos, Jehová escoge a Salomón para ser rey. Amén. Ahora, también encontramos como David encarga a Salomón, amigos, de guardar los preceptos, etcétera, como hemos leído. Después David, amigos, le encarga a Salomón que haga la casa. ¿Sabes qué? La casa, amigos, fue diseñada por David. No Salomón, sino David. David dio los planes. Según versículo 12, le dio el plano. David le da el plano a Salomón. Una vez más, no voy a decir todo. Después, en versículo 20 al versículo 21, encontramos que David da ánimo a Salomón, le anima. Salomón es joven y tierno, dice la palabra del Señor. Es joven y tierno. Y luego encontramos en versículo 19, de capítulo 29, encontramos como David ora por Salomón. David ora por Salomón. ¿Okay? Así es un bosquejo pequeño. Después vamos a regresar y a llenar ahí los pasajes estos. ¿Okay? So now, in 1 Chronicles 28 again, we have David assembles. He assembles, and let's read, he says, he assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king, and of his sons with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So David makes a convocation, an assembly. And he does so because, again, he's going to address him. He's going to let him know that what was in his heart. And he's going to lay a foundation for his son, Solomon. Solomon. Now, I mentioned that the Kings says that David is old and feeble. He can't get out of bed. He can't get any warmth. But you notice in verse 2, what he does, he stands up. You see that? And I think that's important because remember when we looked at the life of Jacob, how Hebrew says that he's at his deathbed, but he does one more thing before he dies. What does he do? He strengthens himself upon the bed and he worships. And you're going to see the same thing in David. You'll see it in chapter 29 again. That's why I said there's too much here. Where David, 29:10, he says, David blessed the Lord before, and this is all the congregation. He's still standing. He gathers all his strength to do this one more time. At the end of chapter 29, we find that David dies. So he stands, verse 2 of chapter 28, and notice how he addresses the people. Notice how he addresses the people. He's the king. David addresses the heart of the people. Notice what he says. He says, hear me, my brethren, and my people. You see that? He's the king. But he still calls him, he's my brethren and my people. And he lets him know this thing. Look to points out of verse number 2. He says, I had in my heart. You see that? I had in my heart. This is what the rest of this chapter is going to really deal with. Because Solomon, following his father's example, he says, oh God, give me an understanding heart. I want you to give me a heart of understanding as you did my father David. You know that? Solomon learned that. He learned something. Again, Kings, you've been reading Chronicles. It doesn't take long before you see David's faults. You're going to find them. You're going to find his faults. You're going to find faults with the best men. This is a man, beloved. Kings say that. The scriptures say that. He was a man after God's own heart. Already jumping ahead. But later on, the scriptures declare. But you know that before loved Solomon. You know that? He says, hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, he says, he strengthens himself, he worships. Notice, these are his intentions. And said David, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand, own have we given thee. We are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. He says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imaginations of the thought of the heart of thy people. And look what it says, verse 18, and prepare their heart unto thee. Then he prays for Solomon. He says, O Lord, give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. Remember, who's there? Solomon is there. What an example. I mean, David is, if you look at his life, beloved, David is a hard man to follow after. To me, he's the greatest king. I know Solomon has the glory. I know Solomon has the wisdom. And we can speak about Hezekiah, we can speak about Josiah, we can speak about other kings, but to me, it's hard to follow King David. It's hard to follow King David. Now, why does David pray this? You say, why does he say this? You know, he gave of his own. He gave of his own. And according to what I've been reading, if you would calculate how much he gave besides what he gathered of his own treasures, he gave millions upon millions and millions for the building of the house of the Lord. You know that? He didn't give just gold. He gave gold and silver, but he gave fine gold. The gold that comes from Ophir. He recalls in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2, he recalls when he sat at his own house and thought about the house of the Lord. You know that? Chapter 17 of Chronicles. Chapter 17. Aquí David recuerda como él se acordó, amigos, de la casa del Señor. He says, estaba en mi corazón. I purpose in my heart. I want to build a house for the Lord. Look at 1 Chronicles 17, 1 and verse 2. He says, now it came to pass, as David said in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in an house of cedars. It says, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. He wanted to build a house. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel. Turn back with me to the previous book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. And this is where some would call the Davidic covenant, the Davidic covenant, which we'll probably elaborate more in the preaching hour, but it would be in Spanish. In 2 Samuel 7, divine election. David summarizes in 1 Chronicles 28. Look at 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. You see that? From following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I took thee. David, remember when he rehearses that, the Lord chose me. You recall the story. There's seven brethren, the sons of Jesse. No, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one either. God is looking for a man after his own heart. It's not those. It's not his height. It's not his strength. God looketh at the heart. Look at here. Verse 9. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. And I've cut off all thine enemies out of thine side and made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also, look at here, also the Lord telleth thee that He will make thee an house. He's telling David, you purpose to build me a house, but God's going to make thee a house. Look at the promise, because we're going to see this later on fulfilled in Solomon. Verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy vows, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And again, I don't want to jump ahead, but we'll see how those are fulfilled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So David, again, these are his intentions. I want to build a house. It's interesting that by the time Haggai comes around, or Haggai, however you want to pronounce it, he rebukes the people of God because they dwell in cedar homes. They're bringing in cedar and building their own homes, making the house beautiful. He says, but the house of the Lord, they're forsaken. They're forsaken the house of the Lord. Here David, he's got all the gold, all the silver, but he's thinking about the house of the Lord. Look, notice what Solomon says. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles 6. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 7, 2 Chronicles. So we're doing a little history this morning, okay? I hope that you took it upon yourselves to, or challenge yourselves to read the whole Bible. And I hope you get to these points of these kings and the chroniclers. I hope you do. If you're not, you're missing a lot. You're missing out. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon remembers this. Remember what I said? He's an example. David's an example to Solomon. David's a hard example to follow, right? But not if you follow with your whole heart. You know that? If I had a word to say to my children, you know, you might say, well, you're not the best example, and I'm not. Christ and God should be your best example. But if you would follow the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart, then you have done well. Amen. Just follow the Lord with all your heart, then you've done well. I think that's the point of the chronicler here, Solomon's point, is that it was not perfect. Go read it. I mean, everybody knows the story about between him and Bathsheba. You know about how he numbered the children of Israel. You know the things that David did that were wrong. We know that. But look at his heart. I think his children, Solomon, specifically 2 Chronicles 6. Notice what he says in verse number 7. Now he says, "Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name." Now if you go read Chronicles, you go read Kings, you go read Samuel, you're not going to find this. Look what 2 Chronicles 6 verse 8, he says, "Thou didst well in that it was in thine heart." You see that? David didn't get to build the house of the Lord. He couldn't. He was a man of war. He had shed too much blood. And God didn't allow it. But God looks at the heart of David right here, verse 8. He says, "Thou didst well." And that's what I like to refer to as religious affections. Religious affections. Or godly desires. I think God was first in David's mind. You know that? I know that. Everything else falls under that. Notice verse 9. It says, "Nevertheless," or notwithstanding, excuse me, "thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth from out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name." What is the point here? Let's go to Chronicles again. 1 Chronicles. Look at 1 Chronicles. Because David was not all talk. He was not just talking. In 1 Chronicles 28 verse 2, he says at the end of that, he says, "and had made ready for the building." You see that? See, all that Solomon had to do was get the materials, which were already there. The plans, verse 12, it's already there. He had to build it. David did all of this. You see, David was not just talk. He made preparations, and for his own treasure, from his own treasure, he contributed the utensils. Now, let me point something out. Verse 12 says, "and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit." You see that? Now, I know the Spanish version says he had it in his mind. If you read other versions, it might say his understanding. But I think verse 19 of chapter, the same chapter, 28 verse 19 tells us. Look what he says. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." The Spirit of God gave David the pattern, the weights. Each, you know, let me say this, children. Each utensil had to be perfectly weighed. You know that? The basins, the flesh hooks, had to be perfectly weighed. Notice this. 29, Chronicles 29. Again, that's why I said there's so much here. I'm not even going to touch the surface. And I like what David prays in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. He says, "Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation." This is the same congregation. He's still standing. He says, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen." See that? "Is yet young and tender. And the work is great. For the palace is not for man." You see that? "But for the Lord God." He's a young man. He's a young man. What instructions would I give to a young man? My son, what would I tell you? Fear the Lord. Keep His commandments. My son, trust in the Lord. Notice what he says, verse 2. Now he says, I have prepared with all my might. You see that? It wasn't half-hearted. That's what I said. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, all manners of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, verse 3, look what it says. See, dads, can we be an example in this matter? What do I see? All your heart? Because of the house of my God. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection, you see that? To the house of my God. I've set my affection. I like the Hittite. I forget his name. I love this man from the men, David's men. David asks him to leave him because he's not an Israelite. He came and joined the Israelites, and when David flees from Absalom, David tells him, go back. I mean, you have no part really with us. You're a stranger. You know what this man says? He says, where my Lord abideth, there will thy servant abide also. You know that? Wherever the Lord abides, verse 3, that's where I've set my affections. That's where I set my affections. That's where I've set my heart. And that's why, look, I have my own proper gold. See that? Of gold and silver, which I give into the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, from His own treasure. 3,000 talents of gold. And here, listen. Of the gold of Ophir. My point is this. Why does it have to be so perfectly weighed? Why does it have to be such expensive and fine gold? Because it's for the house of the Lord. That's why. That's why. Because the house, as Solomon says later on, the house we're going to build has to be a great house because it's for our God and our God is great. But David, you know, the pattern, the utensils, the weight, all these things were given to David by our God. Let's turn to one New Testament book, Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 20. I'm just going to read one verse. He says, and when he had removed them, that is Saul, Acts 13, 22, Hechos 13, 22, he raised up unto them David to be their king. Look what God says about David. To whom also he gave testimony. Wow, isn't that amazing that God would say this about David? You know that? And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. The pattern, the utensils, the weight were given to David by God Himself. And David, with all his might and with all his affections, purposed to do it. But you know, David doesn't lift himself You know, though we read in Chronicles 29, you know, he gives all these talents of gold. And I said, it was millions. It was millions. We bring it up with inflation in our day and time, it would be millions upon, perhaps billions. I don't know. It was hundreds of millions that he gave for the house of the Lord. But you know, remember what we read in Chronicles 29? You know what David says? It all comes from thee. It all comes from thee. It comes from you. If I give, it's because God has given me to give. You know that? That's what he says. Look at Chronicles 29, verse 14. He says, but who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. Because what happened when David gave, they also gave. The people followed David's example and gave also in an abundance. You know that? He says, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. He says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we give in thee. God gave us and we give you back. Well, God, what you gave us? Isn't that amazing? And David also reveals this, and let me close this. And again, I'll continue. Because there's so much, there. Again. But notice what he says in verse 2, Chronicles 28, verse 2. He says, then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, my people, addressing their heart. As for me, he says, I had a heart, or had it in my heart, to build an house of rest. You see that? Don't let the other take away from these details that are here. You know that? I'll read, because I know my wife knows this, and my children. I said, I like to read. But sometimes I'll take off. I mean, I'll just take off and I won't stop. But then there'll be times that I'll just park. I park and I say, wow. And I think that's better. Just to park and read and get as much juice as you can. And this verse 2 is so loaded. It says, to build a house of rest. David reveals to Solomon and the rest of us the greatness of our God. Right here in verse 2. To build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Look what he says. Look, little children, look. And for the footstool of our God. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. Let me share a couple of scriptures and we'll close. Stop with me in Psalm number 132. Psalm number 132. David says, or Psalm says this. Look at verse 7. Psalm 132, 7. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool, his house. But notice what Isaiah says. And this is the verse we're going to close with this morning. We'll pick up again at the 11th hour, okay? I'm going to go a bit faster in the 11th hour. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Look what he says. Isaiah 66, 1 y 2. He said, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, place of his rest. You know that? Where is the house that you will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. See that? God is looking for this man. Him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Can we say that David fit this pattern? I think so. You know that? He says that, I'm poor, I am needy, I am poor, I'm contrite. And he trembled at God's word. We'll continue, Lord willing. Let's take a break.